drifting and I'm drifting. Like a ship out on the sea. Well, I'm drifting and I'm drifting. Baby, like a ship out on the sea. Charles Brown ain't got nobody in this world.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. And what you just heard there was Charles Brown. And Charles Brown was one of our great blues musicians, born on this day in 1922. Driftin' Blues was one of his greatest hits that he did in 1945. But we're going to reserve our day in history for a little later in the program because we have some congressional representatives on very tight schedules joining us in this first part of our program, and we're going to get to those first and talk a little bit about Alan Locke, one of the great philosophers and fathers of the Harlem Renaissance, later in the program, because right now we have with us Congressman Elijah Cummings, represents the 7th District, including where this studio sits, WEAA at Morgan State University. And Congressman Cummings, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Mark. It is good to be with you.
So let me just start with Syria. I know we only have you with us for about 5 or 6 minutes, and you've got a lot of jumping around to do today. There's plenty to do in Congress. But let me just start with why do you think that so many congressional representatives, especially those of you in the Progressive Caucus and in the Black Caucus, seem to be kind of hedging and unclear about Syria?
Well, I tell you, it's because a lot of it has to do with our constituents. I told the president that when he asked the Congress to consent to what he had already agreed to do, decided to do, he also was asking for the opinions of our constituents. Calls are coming into my office, Mark, probably 99-1. I've never seen any such a lopsided situation where people are against it, and they're against it because they have the backdrop of Iraq. Keep in mind that we went into Iraq on some untrue statements,
right,
given by a most respected person in the world, one of the most respected folks, Colin Powell. It wasn't his fault, but he had the bad statements. Two, they know that we spent $1 trillion plus on an 11-year war. They also know that we lost a lot of our young men and women soldiers. A lot of them will suffer until they die from all kinds of injuries, including amputations and brain injuries. They get that. And at the same time, Mark, they feel very sad about when they see the pictures, as I do, of folks being gassed, but they worry that this thing, and they hear the president, they love him. We voted in my district more than 77% for the president during the last election, but their position is we don't want to see another Iraq, and we don't want this so-called limited strike situation, as the president has said, to mushroom into something more than that.
One of the questions I have for you, Congressman, is I wonder why we're not hearing conversations. Let me just throw out an idea why we're not hearing this kind of conversation on Capitol Hill. Many people don't want boots on the ground. However, why are we talking about a different kind of boots on the ground? If America made a presence known in Jordan, Turkey, Lebanon, Iraqi Kurdistan, where 2 million Syrian refugees are, if we had Americans there with patches on, offering medicine, doing work, and then at the same time gathering evidence to perhaps take these people to the International Court of Justice as war criminals, if in fact they did this, as kind of a more effective response than always waving the flag of missiles and drones and guns.
Well, Mark, I think that's a great idea, I can't answer your question why it's not being discussed, but I can tell you that this most recent proposal by the Russians with regard to diplomacy, and that is putting these chemical weapons under international control or UN control, and then eventually destroying them, I think that this is definitely a step in the right direction, and I hope it works. But I think we should probably be doing the things that you just talked about also. And the thing is, the reason why I say that the Russian suggestion is a good one is because you won't have to hopefully not fire one bullet. you'll be able to achieve what the president said he wants to achieve, that is to degrade Assad's capability for using chemical weapons and at the same time deter him. Matter of fact, you come out better because then you end up getting the weapons. But it is a very, it's going to be a difficult thing to do, but I think we can, I think it can get done. And I actually think that's a better solution because I think that is a solution which will eventually bring Assad to the table so that the civil war over there might end. But, you know, as I look at Assad, at some point he's going to have to meet some kind of court, international court of justice. And I think that at that time, I don't know whether there will be very much mercy on him at all. So I don't know. He may be feeling, Mark, that this is either do or die for him. And so we've got to take all of that into consideration. I don't want anybody to think for one moment that I am super optimistic about the negotiations that Secretary Kerry is involved in with the Russians and the Syrians right now. But I am cautiously optimistic because as long as the president has just the threat out there that he might do what he's already said he's decided to do, I think that that has a lot of leverage in and of itself. And by the way, a lot of people are running around criticizing the president. The only reason that we are at the table right now with the Russians is because the president made a decision. Congress didn't come along with him, but he made a decision. The public didn't want to come along with him, but he made the decision. So you got to give him some credit for that.
So, and Congressman, we have Congressman John Sarbanes also with us here about to join the conversation. I know you have to run also, Congressman Cummings, but you also wanted to make an announcement and let you get this.
Yes,
it's important.
Yes, you know, a lot of people hear about Obamacare. It's the enrollment period begins on October 1st, but it can start choosing folks, the insurance companies that they're going to want to be insured by. And we are going to, tomorrow, we're going to be having at the University of Baltimore, 11 West Mount Royal, from 10 to 1, experts from the federal government, state government, coming in to talk about every aspect of Obamacare and how people can take advantage of that program. And if anybody needs any additional information, they should call my office right now, 410-685-9199, 410-685-9199. Congressman Sarbanes and I and our entire delegation have worked hard to get Obamacare. Republicans have been trying to destroy it, but we want people to take advantage of it. And so I'm asking people to call, and we'll be happy. I'm going to look forward to seeing them tomorrow.
We'll announce that later in the program as well. Congressman, we'll also see you Monday night at the housing about the Housing Trust Fund at the Enoch Pratt Library. And thank you so much.
That's exactly right. I look forward to it.
Take care.
All right. May God bless.
We are now joined by Congressman John Sarbanes, representing the 3rd District here in the state of Maryland, obviously. And Congressman Sarbanes, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks very much, Mark. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Let me start, before we get a caller in here, and you can join us here, by the way, folks, at 410-319-8888. We're now talking with Congressman Sarbanes, and we'll be talking with Senator Cardin as well. And the question many of us have, why is it so difficult for people who are on the progressive end of the spectrum of the Democratic Party to kind of make a stand on where they stand when it comes to the idea of retaliation, or not retaliation, of bombing Syria? But some people say the jury's out in terms of what that would mean. I mean, what does lobbing missiles mean against Assad at this point?
Actually, Mark, I think that a lot of the progressives in Congress were expressing very powerfully this skepticism. It's a deep skepticism, but I think it's a healthy skepticism on the part of the American people about using force if there's any other avenue that one can pursue as an alternative. And that's why the president's request to the Hill for an authorization of the use of military force was getting a fair amount of pushback before this latest opportunity presented itself. And, you know, at the point that this proposal came forward, I was still kind of hashing through the decision myself. I hadn't made a decision. But we were getting a lot of input from our constituents, as Congressman Cummings indicated, who are very wary of the potential to get pulled into a broader engagement, even though they recognize that the use of chemical weapons is abhorrent, that it violates long-held international standards, and there has to be some kind of response to it. So it's a difficult position we're in because of the legacy of Iraq, and frankly, because the mission itself was, I think, hard for a lot of people to understand. It was like, you know, we're gonna do a military strike that's going to be hard, but it's not going to be too strong. It's going to be just enough to degrade his weapons, but not get us into a broader engagement. I think people were rightly circumspect about what that would mean.
So if we're skeptical about that, then what should be the response? I mean, there have been I asked Congressman Cummings this question. We've raised in the show with experts on Syria for the last couple of weeks. Is why isn't Congress or the White House, why aren't they? I'm thinking about other ways of addressing this problem. The one way of saying if they're gathering evidence, if there is evidence that in fact it was Assad's regime that did this, then going after them as war criminals, and or B, maybe more importantly, of putting American boots on the ground among the 2 million refugees in four countries where the American flag can be seen helping people who have been forced into refugees of this war, and doing something in a different way that's a response to this, as opposed to always saying, okay, well, we can lob in some missiles, which many people argue, CIA folks argued in the show yesterday, wouldn't make a much difference in this war other than kind of maybe supporting people that we don't want, who are no better than Assad himself.
You're talking really about more fully embracing the idea of sort of the use of soft power rather than hard power sometimes. And I think definitely this notion that you could assist more in dealing with the refugee crisis is one that ought to be pursued. Let's be clear, though. It still has the potential to pull you into very complicated situations that can lead to further entanglement. That doesn't mean you don't give it strong consideration. Particularly if you have some wariness about going in with the use of military power. It's something that ought to be looked at. But none of these things come without risk, and that's why it's so challenging, particularly in that region of the world where you have so much ethnic, religious, sectarian strife. You have societies that are coming out from under dictatorial rule and authoritarian rule in some places, but that lets loose other forces that can be very hard to predict kind of which direction that they'll go in. That doesn't mean you shrink back from the responsibility of some kind of policy there, but it is challenging.
So Congressman, before you have to run, let me get a call in here, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
410-319-8888, as we talk with Congressman John Sarbanes before Senator Ben Cardin arrives to join us as well. And I'm asking our callers, you can't have very long, rambling statements. The Congressman only has a short amount of time, and we have to keep this moving. So 410-319-8888 is the number. We do want to hear your thoughts. Join us at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet at Mark Steiner. And Ernest, on the west side of Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning to you and the congressperson.
Good morning.
I don't like the double standard that's going on in the Middle East. When Israel invaded Gaza and bombed, and an investigation by and used chemical weapons, white phosphorus, depleted uranium, and it was an investigation by the UN headed by Judge Goldstone, Richard Goldstone, from South Africa, who is Jewish, and his investigation and his investigation team declared that a war crime. I didn't hear anyone saying that we're going to take Israel's chemical weapons, take their nuclear weapons, or bring anybody to justice in reference to those war crimes.
Okay, well, let me let the Congressman answer only because we have a very brief amount of time.
Let me make a final point, Mark.
Very, very quick.
The problem in the Middle East is the project for the new American century started by Bill Kristol and that group of terrorists.
Okay.
And that's the ones that need to be investigated.
The Middle East is a complex place, Congressman Sarbanes.
Yeah, there's no question that it's a complex place. And obviously you want to have kind of uniform standard by which you judge what happens in these different in these different areas. In this case, what we have is very, very clear evidence based on American intelligence, and I think the UN report that's going to come forward is going to really corroborate our conclusion that Assad was responsible, the regime was responsible for this chemical weapons attack. That puts you in this position where there needs to be some response from the international community. The debate that we're having is, what's the nature of that response? Is it going to be military in nature, or is it? Are there other things that we can pursue? There is an opportunity, it appears. We'll see how it proceeds, to pursue now a diplomatic alternative to that. I, like Congressman Cummings, have some optimism for that, but I'm not overly optimistic. We'll have to see how it goes. If we can proceed in that fashion, that's the way we should go.
Congressman Sarbanes, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time with the listeners once again.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Take care. And we're now joined by Senator Ben Cardin, one of our two senators here in the state of Maryland. Senator Cardin, good to have you with us.
Mark, it's always good to be on your show. I hope you're well.
Hope you're well.
I am, thanks.
And Lashana Tova to you, by the way, starting this evening.
Happy New Year, easy fast.
It's the same to you.
Thank you.
So, but let's start with the vote that you took part in the committee.
Sure.
And I'm there are so many people that we've been interviewing, from former CIA officers and others, who really question the efficacy of a limited attack on Syria, that it may make you look like you're being tough on chemical weapons, but does nothing. And we're not really thinking this thing through and questioning why there was not more questioning by the Democratic senators about this possibility.
Well, first, Mark, let me share with you that this is one of the most difficult decisions that a member of Congress needs to make, and that is whether we should authorize the use of force. The constitutions and laws of our country envision that Congress will make that decision. And it's one of the most difficult that any member has to confront. The use of chemical weapons that was documented clearly by under the direction of President Assad of Syria cannot go unchallenged. If it continued without challenge, it is much more likely we will see an escalation of the production and use of weapons of mass destruction, which would make it easier for those who want to do harm to America to have possessions of those types of weapons. So you need to stand up. And I agree with your members of our delegation who you've been talking with that it should be an international response. It should not be an American response. It should be an international response. Now, we learned just a couple weeks ago about this, and the president indicated, which was somewhat of a surprise to the members of Congress, that he was going to seek a specific authorization from Congress before taking any action. I'm a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. We had extensive meetings. We didn't rush to judgment. I had the opportunity in open and closed sessions to get specific information, not just about the chemical weapons that were used, but about what type of military response was contemplated in order to deal with these problems. So we had many opportunities to talk about the specific military missions. I don't want to leave you with the impression that we didn't have that opportunity. It was also clear to us that the use of force should be a matter of last resort. Diplomacy is always preferable. But when the president started this effort, there was little interest in the United Nations and little interest internationally to respond. I think the credible threat of the use of force have brought the parties together in a diplomatic solution, which will be the best of all worlds. And that is, if Syria gives up its chemical weapons to international organizations and inspection, we remove the threat of the use of these chemical weapons. And that was the sole purpose for the resolution authorization of force.
But many people would argue, Senator, that, and before we get a couple calls in here before you have to run, many people would argue that the missiles or drone attacks or whatever form this will take will do little to you can't attack chemical weapons from the air. That's not going to happen. You're not going to really you can't disarm Assad's forces completely in terms of their delivery systems by a limited attack. And so are we saying the United States is prepared to go in to stop chemical weapons and then get involved between Assad and the al-Qaeda-like forces that are on the other side? I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. And I acknowledge what you're saying is absolutely a major concern. You have to do it right. You cannot blow up chemical weapons because you will cause tremendous damage to the people in the community. What we can do, what the American military can do, is disrupt the Assad's regime and their ability to deliver chemical weapons. And chemical weapons are generally put into bombs that are delivered traditionally to a community. We can disrupt that. So we clearly can do that. We can make it easier for the defense of communities to be able to operate. So we can do certain things that can change the equation. But as we've already seen, just the threat of military involvement has gotten the attention of Russia and Syria. And we're now on the verge of working out a diplomatic way that Syria would allow inspectors in their country to take control of their chemical weapons. Now, that won't be done overnight, but the fact that we have eyes on the ground will make it much less likely that he will use chemical weapons in the future. So there's a risk involved in any option, but doing nothing, if the international community stands still and does nothing, there will be more chemical weapons produced, there'll be more weapons of mass production produced and will be used, and it's more likely that extremist groups will get hold of these types of weapons.
Now, Senator, before we have to run, let's try to get at least one caller in here,
sure,
if we can. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We're on the line with Senator Ben Cardin. And Kim, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
This is great to get a chance to actually ask a question of our Senator Cardin. I did call on Monday to Cardin's office and everyone else in Maryland to say that I and so many of us in Maryland do not want to have any type of military invasion of Syria. But I wanted to say that this whole talk of chemical weapons seems to be a distraction from the real issue, and that possible attack also is actually not the real point. The U.S. is already involved. The U.S. has been involved from the beginning. The U.S. does have boots on the ground already. It's just that American feet are not in them. The U.S. is arming the rebels. It's letting Saudi Arabia and Qatar arm the rebels. So it's important for your listeners and everyone to know that the U.S. is already involved and not in a good way, and I think a destructive way. But now I have a question. That was my comment. My question, Senator Cardin, is why should anyone listening to this program or in Maryland trust the U.S. role in the region? And why are we drawing the red line for Syria when Israel also used chemical weapons? And I'm wondering specifically to you, because you are a Israel supporter, why does Israel get to have nuclear weapons and Iran cannot? And I'm also asking, why are we asking, a couple more.
We only have a short amount of time.
All right, one last one. Why are we asking concessions from Assad when Israel also is in violation of international law for 60 years now, and we are worried, we are rightly worried about Syrian refugees, but I never hear any of the same kind of talk and sympathy for Palestinian refugees. I guess I'll end there. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Kim. There's a lot said there. We'll see how much time the senator has to answer.
Right.
Senator?
Well, you do raise a lot of questions. Let me point out, the United States has been involved in that region. There is a humanitarian crisis. 100,000 people have been killed. 4 million people have been dislocated in Syria. I think as a citizen of the world, as the strongest country in the world, the United States has a clear responsibility to respond. I've been to the region. I've been to the refugee camps. And I think we have a responsibility to help. So the initial response by the United States, along with a large number of other countries, was to assist the people of Syria for humanitarian reasons, and I strongly supported that, and I think it was the right thing to do. The resolution that was recommended by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee specifically prohibits American troops on the ground. It also is limited to no more than 60 to 90 days. It's also limited to specific missions concerning chemical weapons. So it was a very specific authorization of force, and it was not at all to get America to take sides on a civil war that can only be resolved through the people of Syria. So I agree with you completely. Now, on the use of chemical weapons, I'm going to take issue with you. I am not aware of chemical weapons being used other than by two countries since the adoption of the international prohibition after World War I. The other country was Iraq. This country, Syria. They're the only two countries that have used chemical weapons that I am aware of since the prohibition was put in effect.
I think people are looking at, people look at things like white phosphorus, which was used in Gaza, but that's a vicious weapon, but not a chemical weapon.
What? Sorry?
White phosphorus.
Oh, white phosphorus. I'm not a technical expert. You got me on that. I just don't know. Look, the United States has stood for humanitarian respect for international human rights standards. I chair the U.S. Helsinki Commission. I'm proud of the work that we've done globally in regards to standing up for human rights. We have humanitarian concerns for all people who have been victimized as a result of refugees and other issues. The United States has been the leader in trying to help in different parts of the world. But the fact that there is problems in places that we cannot get involved does not mean we shouldn't get involved anywhere.
Senator Ben Cardin, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you very soon again, not just about Syria, but about the battle over the debt ceiling and more coming up in the Senate and the House.
Mark, you're absolutely right. We are coming very close to the deadline of October 1 on the shutdown of government. We have a debt ceiling. We have sequestration. We have incredibly important issues that we're dealing with in Washington, and I look forward to that discussion.
Take care. Thank you very much, Senator, for joining us. We've been joined by three of our elected officials in this first part of the Mark Steiner Show, Senator Ben Cardin, Senator Elijah Cummings, Congressman John Sarbanes, and Congressman Elijah Cummings. We're going to have a brief break and come back, switch gears, and don't go away.